All right, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by James Murphy. James, how are you?
Pretty good. We're starting to get into the meat and potatoes of football season. I'm excited to talk more about that.
Yeah, so, James was in Starkville for the Mississippi State Northern Illinois game. I watched the Ole Miss Tulane game from the comfort of my couch until I just was like, all right, this is out of hand. I don't need to watch this anymore. So, and obviously a big week for both schools this week, big SEC games for both, and we will talk about everything I just mentioned and more. But first, Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50 and would like to thank the good people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. So, James, let's start with your experience first, because I just think that's more interesting than me watching a blowout game from my couch.
All right.
I checked the score at halftime. I forget what it was, but I was sitting there. I'm like...
14-10, I believe.
Yeah. I was like, how... Why? It seemed like they were off to a really slow start.
Mistakes. I mean, if you want just like a simple answer to your why, it's mistakes. I think the one that led to a touchdown was Mississippi State went 3 and out deep in their own 10, maybe inside their own 5, shanked the ensuing punt, and then Northern Illinois scored, I believe, 2 plays later. But that was all they were able to get. And then just offensively, you know, State was not able to get the explosive plays that it's kind of trying to be known for. Because I know if you kind of look deep into it, it's they try to score from far. That's their big thing. And there were times where Shapen just overthrew somebody that got wide open, and they would just miss on a lot of those big plays. But they started to hit them late and were able to kind of pull away with it. But I chalk it up to those things. A lot of pre-snap penalties, some special teams gaffes, and offense not really getting going quite the way. But eventually they were able to do it. Whatever they weren't able to do in terms of big plays, they compensated for plenty in the run game. They ran for 292 yards as a team. Could you take it with some grains of salt because it's Northern Illinois? Sure, but that's something to come away with pretty impressed with.
Yeah, as someone who really only looked at the box score stuff and some of the analytics and stuff, it seemed to me like this was not exactly what you wanted to see right before they get into conference play.
No, and Jeff Lebby knew that. You know, he knew that there's a lot to clean up. Pre-snap penalties are a big thing. You know, just like the illegal formation, false start, offsides, procedural stuff, things along those lines are things they want, and obviously the special teams gaffes. Blake Shapen did not have his best game, and he knew that. But we talked about how they have made a lot of mistakes. I think in this game they had about 11 penalties that cost them about 104 yards. And if you look back at some of their games, it's kind of been something that's been around for a while, and they haven't necessarily dealt with it the way that they would want to. So it's definitely something they have to clean up that's been lingering for a while.
Yeah. I will point out, second half, much better.
100.
Better. It was more of kind of what you would expect, right?
I believe they scored 24 unanswered on, I think, 3 consecutive drives to kind of put it away.
They outgained Northern Illinois 304-97 in the second half while scoring 24 points. Big part of that, they rushed for 179 yards. It was a big day for Mississippi State on the ground. Big days for, I guess like everybody in that backfield, including Blake Shapen doing it a bit with his legs seemingly.
Yeah, there were plenty of times. I think he had 2 big scrambles on one drive that either ended up in a touchdown or some form of points. I forget which one exactly. Actually, it was a touchdown, but he was able to kind of keep drives alive with that. Because, again, the big plays weren't happening, but what the other side of that is there was a lot of room underneath, so he was able to take advantage of that.
I'm not really surprised that an SEC team was able to just push around Northern Illinois, but it's better than the alternative.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Big day for Fluff Bothwell, and it's good because I still feel like a big part of the recipe for State, if they're going to have success in conference play, is they're going to have to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, you need some semblance of it. And even if it's not necessarily your biggest calling card, because I do think they want to try and be a little bit more of an up-tempo team that relies quite a bit on the pass. And we've seen what they – obviously, we have both seen what they can be when that is going. But, yeah, in the SEC, you have to be able to run the ball to some extent. And, again, 292 yards against Northern Illinois at least shows that you have something in that regard.
You know, I've told you a couple of times about how I sort of track who successfully establishes the run every week, just because I think it's funny. And the way I define that is a success rate of at least 50%. You run the ball at least 60% of the time. Your EPA per rush is at least zero. State did that this week against Northern Illinois, so nice job. And by my math, it's the first time they've done that since 2019, I think. At least against like an actual opponent with a pulse or something resembling a pulse. So, you know, there's that. My big question, though, was it seemed like Blake Shapen was a little shaky.
Yeah, again, and I think a lot of it comes down to, again, just those big plays that did not quite hit. Because, you know, a lot of times, I mean, against Arizona State, certainly, he was able to hit a lot more of them. But they were just a little bit off. Sometimes he'd overthrow them. Sometimes he misread somebody. I think that also maybe there were a couple of times where he wasn't necessarily protected very well. So he got uncomfortable and wasn't able to make the best play happen. So I think a lot of what he'll be able to do down the stretch will probably come down to protection and just how well he's able to keep meshing with his receivers.
Yeah, it seems to me like State's passing game is a little too all or nothing right now.
Like either deep ball or...
Well, it's really just like explosive play or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse than nothing.
Like there's not a ton of intermediate stuff.
Right. You know, just looking at the stats on GameOnPaper.com, aka my favorite college football website, they have State when passing the ball without an explosive play, their EPA per play was negative 0.34, which is really bad. Mm. Granted, it's, you know, you're taking out all the good stuff without taking out any of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always going to be lower, but it still feels like, you know, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see. And good news is, though, you know, when I was talking with Jake Thompson about Ole Miss last week, you know, he kind of commented about how State is doing what Ole Miss did last year and what he calls the high school schedule, mm-hmm. where you play all your non-region games and then you play all the region games.
Yeah.
State's doing that this year. And the good news is that they're 4-0 heading into conference play, which I think if you told everybody at the beginning of the year, they would have taken.
I'll go one step further. I think they'd be thrilled, especially considering how tough Mississippi State was last year. I think people would have been happy with 4 wins on the entire season. But now here they are going into conference play, 2 wins away from one of their big goals, which is reaching bowl eligibility. And, Brendan, I got to tell you, I think that's feasible. I'm not here to tell you that it's going to happen, but I think there is enough wiggle room in here to be able to win 2 games and be able to play a 13th game.
Yeah, I mean, some of the schedules or some of the games in conference play look a little less terrifying than they did a month ago. All of a sudden, a trip to Gainesville doesn't seem that horrible, though they might not even have the same head coach by the time State makes that trip in mid-October. So we'll see about that. Arkansas is one of those teams that's like they're good, but they're not. If you take away the fact that they find a way to lose games, they're actually a really good team.
Right.
Right. So, you know, we'll see how all that goes. But, you know, a trip to Mizzou isn't super fun. A trip to Texas A&M, that's usually never fun. You know, God only knows what's happening with Texas.
We'll find out soon, won't we? Because I feel like they just kind of had a really – they did not look very impressive at Ohio State. And, yeah, it's Ohio State, but even then, it's just kind of – what is Arch Manning? Is he good? Is the real Arch Manning the friends we made along the way? What's going on?
He's currently a mystery wrapped up in an enigma.
He could be anything. He could even be Arch Manning.
Look, yeah. If you are at the point where you're, like, zooming in on your quarterback's face and being like, is he grimacing while he's throwing? Is he hurt? You're in a bad spot.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the SEC is like that, except maybe LSU, which we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah,
reasons.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. But, yeah, we'll see. I still think that my bare minimum for state is find a way to win a conference game this year. I've talked about before in the past, like the teams that have not won a conference game back-to-back years in recent memory are like the, I think it's like, it's Vanderbilt and like the Chad Morris Arkansas teams, which really bad company. Anytime you're grouped in with Chad Morris and Arkansas,
I'm going to take your word for that on Chad Morris. I'm not as familiar with his quote-unquote work as you are.
Yeah, it's sort of a Greek tragedy, really.
It's like Darth Plagueis.
I don't know. It's just really bad. It's one of those things you look at it and like, how does this happen to a power conference school? But that's besides the point. Overall, how are you feeling heading into conference play for state?
I think they have to clean up their mistakes and they have to do it relatively soon. That said, I don't know if they will be able to. So I am reasonably worried about the Tennessee game. I'm not here to tell you they'll get blown out, but I do think they could get a bit of a reality check.
Yeah, I kind of have that feeling. I think it's just one of those things where, and we'll talk about it in a bit. I think we're going to find out a lot about Mississippi State this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think there will be a couple of levels to this. I think if they hang in there and keep it a competitive game, then that could once again keep showing signs of promise. But I think if you go in and you get blown out, well, that's time to have a different conversation. If you win, then it's a whole other conversation.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to Ole Miss Tulane. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, I mean, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, here are the first – well, I guess here are all of Ole Miss's drives in the first half. Touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal. They were up 23-3 at halftime. Meanwhile, here are Tulane's drives in the first half. Punt, punt, field goal, punt, end of half. Scoreless third quarter, and then Ole Miss just turned it on with three straight touchdown drives. So that was kind of just the way that one went. They were never in any sort of danger remotely.
Seems pretty impressive of Ole Miss to be able to do that to a team that I think a lot of people consider a legitimate threat to grab that, group of five bid for the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Memphis is in the driver's seat right now after that win over Arkansas. But, I mean, you know, certainly Tulane was in the conversation of like, hey, like, you know, the best group of five conference is probably the American. And at the top of the American, it's, you know, Memphis, Tulane, and USF. And if, you know, a military academy feels like getting spicy, I guess, you know, they can get in there too. But that's generally the hierarchy that I've seen. But, I mean, this is not like when they played Georgia State at the beginning of the year and beat the brakes off them. Like, this is an actual football team. You know, this isn't even like Northern Illinois. Right?
Yeah.
This is an actual football team and they made it look easy.
Now, here's my question for you. From what you were able, because you were able to see the Ole Miss game, how much, if at all, is Trinidad Chambliss a threat to hold on to the starting job the rest of the season?
I am really curious what's going to happen there because I hate to say this, but Chambliss has just looked a lot better. You know, part of it is he's just got more experience, you know, obviously at a much lower level. But, you know, it's still college football, right? And he's a little older, but I decided to look into it. This year, Austin Simmons has a, according to Game on Paper, he has a 0.21 EPA per play, which is pretty solid. By the eye test, not as favorable. He's got a 61.6 offensive grade, according to PFF, which is, if I can read my notes correctly, 64th out of 70 quarterbacks in the Power Four with X number of dropbacks. Chambliss, on the other hand, 0.46 EPA per play, so much higher. And that's also just, like, stupid good. 88.6 grade, which is 11th. So, you know, like, if anything, I think Chambliss' opponents were harder.
And he was able to put up better numbers than up to this point Austin Simmons has.
Right.
Let me follow up with this. How do you, like, from what have you seen, how has Chambliss looked under pressure? Because I know that Simmons had some trouble against that when he was on the field.
I mean, I think just overall Chambliss has just been really solid. He's got some really good athleticism that, you know, he can get himself out of danger pretty easily. I'm not really concerned. I mean, I don't know. He's just been really good for them. And it's, I don't know, we'll see. Seemingly there's no quarterback controversy. You know, I'm just looking at the quote that our guy, Michael Katz, tweeted from Lane Kiffin that, essentially, if Simmons is 100%, he'll be their starting quarterback.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't seem like there's that much of a controversy. But, you know, you got to wonder if Simmons is healthy and he's 100% and they start him and he struggles a little bit or throws an early interception and they trail early. It's like, well, how long of a leash are you going to have?
Right, especially with the schedule they have and the opponents coming up.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes from here. At the very least, it's a really cool story.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Shout out Ferris State.
Yeah. And then the other big point for me was Ole Miss's defense really needed a good day. Specifically, I think their secondary has been really good this year, but against the run, they have been pretty awful. Finally, they had a pretty good day in terms of just preventing big stuff. Yeah, they got burned a couple times with Jake Retzlaff's legs, but otherwise they basically made it so that he was non-existent in terms of doing anything.
It's pretty impressive.
Right. So, like, that's the big thing. Negative 0.08 EPA per rush. The only thing is that, like, they still gave up a 46% success rate against the run, which is still pretty high. But limiting the big stuff finally is a good start. And really, Tulane was doing nothing throwing the ball, so... Good bounce back week for them after a difficult outing the previous week. So, I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about?
In regards to, well, I guess probably, what are some of the biggest things you're going to be watching for when they play LSU on Saturday?
Yeah, I guess we can just segue into that. I don't know what's going on with LSU's offense. I don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe Brian Kelly is just cursed. It's entirely possible. LSU this year, outside of their game against Southeastern Louisiana, which I'm not counting, they have not surpassed 23 points. Their 23 points against Louisiana Tech were the most that they've scored all year in a game against FBS opponents. You know, you can sort of discount one of those games because it was against Clemson, except you kind of can't because they look like a total dumpster fire right now. You know, they get 5 interceptions against Florida and they score 20 points. And I believe one of the, you know, at least some of that was a pick six, right? So, granted, Florida's defense has played well this year, but it's like, come on, man, you have that many takeaways. Like, how do you not score more often, right? So, God only knows. Maybe after last week they started to figure it out. I'm kind of leaning toward no because, I mean, come on, it's Southeastern Louisiana, right?
Right.
But, I mean, that's sort of the thing I'm keeping an eye on. And it's like, well, Ole Miss, their big thing is that they can stop the pass. They can't stop the run at all. Well, LSU hasn't really run the ball all that well this year. So it's sort of like strength versus weakness versus weakness.
One other thing is that while LSU's offense appears to have regressed, which is weird because they have one of the better quarterbacks in the country at minimum. You wonder what's going on there, but while that has regressed, the defense appears to have clicked in a way it has not yet since Brian Kelly took over. And you wonder how that might affect the game. Like, you know, we all know that LSU Ole Miss is usually a very wacky game in some form. Now you'd be looking at, usually you'd be looking at a shootout, but maybe this year you have to wonder, maybe it's a lower scoring game. Maybe it's a bit more of like a sloppy slugfest kind of thing where it's like field position, trenches, line of scrimmage kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we all thought it was going to be a high-scoring game last year, and it wasn't.
No, it was not.
You know, big advantage for Ole Miss is that this year it's at home instead of playing under the lights at night at Death Valley. You know, that's a decently big swing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is, I don't know, I don't want to say dependent on who's starting at quarterback for Ole Miss. Because it's like, with everything going on with Chambliss, I'm just like, whoever Lane Kiffin throws in at quarterback, I'm just going to trust that they're going to play well at this point.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I just kind of feel like if Ole Miss can come out early and put some points on the board, you know, like last week against Tulane, but I mean, this is obviously much, much stiffer challenge than that. But I feel like if they can just come out and put some points on the board early and really put LSU behind the eight ball when you're already struggling on offense, like I just feel like that's a tough spot to be in. And on the road, yeah.
Yeah. It'll probably be up to who is able to kind of play the game on their terms.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big challenge early on for Ole Miss, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch.
I don't know, just any sort of general impressions on this game from you?
Well, I think that, I don't know if it's necessarily an elimination game because both teams are 4-0 and could probably stomach a loss, but I'm excited. I'm interested to see what each team's game plan is. You know, neither has quite played up to the standard that they have set, but they still can ? So I wonder how each team is going to attack this and which one wins out in the end, which game plan, which one wins out in the end.
The other note, and I was going to say this for Mississippi State as well, there's something going on in the state of Mississippi and pass rushes. You know, a year after basically having after having one of the best pass rushes in the country, you know, Ole Miss, obviously they had to sort of rebuild that entire unit, but they have 4 sacks on the year. Right. You know, got to get after the quarterback a little more. So that's the big thing for me is get after the quarterback some more. And see what happens, because They've played well enough in the secondary that I think that they'll be fine. But it's like, if you can just get something resembling a better pass rush, I think you're always going to be in a better spot if you can rush the quarterback better.
Yeah, you can't give Garrett Nussmeier that much time.
Yeah, it seems like he's a little more vulnerable, because there was a time last year where, like, basically he was never getting pressured, and when even like on the few times that he was just not getting sacked. His pressure to sack rate last year, according to PFF, was 9.8%, which is really low. I think for a lot of the year it was like 2%. It was just stupid low. This year it's up to 20%, and he's taken 6 sacks after taking only 15 last year. And again, I think most of that was in the second half. So I'm curious if they can get some more pressure in his face.
Yeah, I'd say that'll probably be a big key.
Any predictions on this one?
I think LSU wins a close one.
Really?
A really close one, yeah. Going to be tight, but I just have a feeling that they'll be able to get one big play at the end.
Well, I think, Ole Miss is 1-0 in revenge games already this year?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because they went on the road and beat Kentucky.
I'm going to give them a second one, because I just sort of feel, I don't want to say that LSU's fraudulent, because that feels a little too harsh, but I feel like they're due for a loss where they have to really have a big reckoning. Like, I just feel like they're a little overranked right now.
That's fair. Like them being number 4. Yeah.
They just have seemed a little too human. And if this gets into a track meet, not really sure if they'll be able to respond.
That's fair. They haven't really shown it quite yet. They haven't shown it against an FBS team.
All right. We're going to move on to State in Tennessee. Big SEC opener, big prove it game for Mississippi State. And gotta be honest, I'm favoring Tennessee here.
Yeah, me too. I Mississippi State has a lot of mistakes to clean up, and while they might be better against Tennessee, I don't know if the mistakes will be clean enough where they'll be able to hang around enough to beat Tennessee. Could they hang around enough to make a competitive? Sure, but I just think that Mississippi State has a lot to clean up, and Tennessee's probably going to expose a lot of flaws.
Yeah, so this is team number 5 in the SP Plus rankings, going on the road to number 29. And this is after Mississippi State has apparently gone up 18 spots, you know? I feel like this is, I don't know, maybe a little bit like what I was just talking about with Ole Miss LSU. I think there's a strong opportunity or strong chance that this game just turns into points left and right. I mean, you saw what happened with Tennessee and Georgia. I'm not saying that Mississippi State is Georgia,
but they have that big play potential.
Yeah, Tennessee is vulnerable defensively, especially against the pass. So I think this is a big day for Blake Shapen.
You're saying take the over?
Yeah. I have no doubt that Tennessee is going to get theirs in this game. I'm still not entirely sold on the I guess I'm not entirely sold on State in general, because there's just been too many games where I'm like, they're clearly playing competition below them.
Mm-hmm.
And after last year, it's going to take more than, you know, the Arizona State game to like totally tell me like this is, you know, like a middle of the pack SEC team.
Very true.
But yeah, I don't know. I just sort of feel like, you know, everybody was like, oh, well, it could be a little bit of a rebuilding year for Tennessee after the weird quarterback trade. But Joey Aguilar has just been solid for them. So there goes the Tennessee downfall arc.
Yeah, he's been doing very well. He's been able to do what Josh Heupel's offense requires. You know, it's very much a designed route kind of thing where it's just like fitted in this particular window and just kind of go from there. And he's been able to do that. Even in the loss against Georgia, he was good at it.
Yeah, no, get ready to speak wide split, buddy.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so big test for the Mississippi State secondary in a way that I just don't think that they've seen at all this year. So, yeah, I think they keep it close, but I think Tennessee pulls away the second half.
My thoughts exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Just anything you're keeping an eye on in this game?
I'm excited to see how Kelly Jones does. He was able to lock down Jordan Tyson for a while, or at the very least keep Tyson well below his standard. And now he will probably have a similar challenge against Tennessee's passing offense. And I'm curious to see how he does against that.
Yeah. I mean that's pretty much what I was getting at there. I just feel like it's going to be an interesting day about the state secondary, right? You know, especially after the way this team played defensively last year, just like all year. You know, I mean, it's like, look, the improvements this year have been dramatic. You know, granted, the floor, the barb was on the floor; it was in the basement. It's time to see how real it is.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see.
And just like what I said with Ole Miss, it's like, look, I need to start seeing more of a pass rush for State. So we'll see where that goes. Anything else you want to mention on that front?
That particular front, I think we've covered all the bases.
Last thing I want to touch on was the SEC going to 9 games. That is not new. There are reports about what the sort of new opponents are, or like what the permanent opponents are for everybody for the next 4 years. I think it's cool that they're just sort of addressing that every once in a while just to make sure everything's good. And it's also probably just to sort of maintain some kind of flexibility in case with the constant changes in college athletics, right? The wild, wild west of college athletics.
Yeah.
As everybody likes to call it. But I believe Ole Miss has Mississippi State, obviously, LSU and Oklahoma, and then Mississippi State has Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and Alabama.
Yep, that's right.
So what are your impressions?
Works for me. I mean, obviously, you got to have the Egg Bowl. For Mississippi State, I think it's just a matter of, I think a lot of it has to do with travel, because Arkansas is we talked about it before we hopped on, it's like Arkansas is about an hour and a half drive there, 3 hours if you combine the round trip. Vanderbilt, I think it would be about 4 or 5 hour drive, you know, something pretty easily accessible for State fans and just kind of make it easy for them. In terms of Ole Miss, obviously, again, Egg Bowl. LSU is probably their second biggest rivalry. I believe it's the Magnolia Bowl, they call it. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere. It's good to have that as an annual thing. Oklahoma, I'm not quite so sure on how that would fit with Ole Miss. But then again, maybe it's just a process of elimination thing where you sort through things and realize that this is one of the best matchups possible. I don't have a huge problem with it, but I am, I guess, curious.
Yeah, no, it is sort of awkward the way that they've just kind of thrown Oklahoma and Texas, and to a lesser extent Mizzou and Texas A&M, because, you know, like, it's weird to, like, all right, these are your permanent opponents for a conference that you've been in for one season, you know?
Yeah.
Look at all the rivalries you've built up in, you know, over that span of time. I mean, Texas was easy because it's basically just, you know, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas, like, that wrote itself. Oklahoma, on the other hand, it's like, they don't really have, it's just like, we'll throw something together, I guess. You can get Oklahoma, or you can get Mizzou, I suppose, in a battle of the, well, you're not really SEC, right?
A part of it, I feel like, is just kind of recreating rivalries from conferences that are no longer with us. I mean, I'm pretty sure with Texas, it was just recreate Big 12/Southwest Conference rivalries. And I think it's a little bit of an extent with Arkansas, minus the boot game with LSU. That's what they call it, right? The boot game.
I don't know all these off the top of my head.
Because I just remember a trophy. Because I know when you put LSU and Arkansas together, it just kind of looks like a boot. Yeah. And I think that's what the shape of the trophy is.
But, I was kind of surprised that State got Vanderbilt instead of Ole Miss. That seemed like it would have made more sense to me. But, you know, hey, whatever. And Ole Miss, Oklahoma, to me, feels awkward.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that fits, just because they're not that close to each other. There's not a ton of rivalry significance. Best thing I could chalk it up to is when they did a process of elimination, they just realized, you know what, this is going to have to happen.
And I'm like kind of surprised that Mississippi State is reportedly getting Alabama.
They're right there. It's an easy drive for the fans.
Yeah, I know. I just sort of felt like Alabama has enough, like, I don't know, rivalries or whatever that, you know, they would have somebody other than an Alabama.
Well, let's see. Alabama has the Iron Bowl, obviously, the third Saturday in October, and then State. I mean, if you had to, well, I'll ask you, if you were to switch out State with someone else, who would it be?
I think it would have been LSU. But I think that's just a... I mean, I would rather have Alabama LSU than LSU Texas A&M. And I know that there are knock-on effects for all of these.
Mm-hmm.
You change one game, you tip over, you know, seven more dominoes.
Yeah.
But, and I know that, you know, some of it is balancing, you know, like making Alabama play Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU every year would be, you know, a little crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the SEC, man. Everybody's good.
Very true. Yeah.
Mostly, you know, to varying extents, but it is interesting. I don't know. It's provocative. It gets people going. I don't know.
Yeah, very much so. And it'll get them going probably again in another 4 years when they do this whole thing again.
I do, and I guess that's the important part, because I do see people sort of, you know, complaining about the death of various rivalries, and it's understandable, and I get it. Like, you know, I'm a Florida alum, so like seeing Florida not play Tennessee every year is strange. You know, and I know that they are making it so that the schedule rotates enough that you see everybody in a certain amount of time, which is better than the current and old. Well, the current format is here's who you're playing. The old format was like, yeah, you will see this one school at home in the other division once every like 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like Georgia has never played at College Station. You know, Florida hasn't played at, Auburn hasn't, yeah. Florida hasn't played at Auburn in like a million years.
Interesting.
You know, and it's like these things should not happen.
Yeah.
In a conference. So we'll see how it goes. I'm intrigued. I'm glad that they have settled on like an actual scheduling format instead of, here's your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just kind of throwing something random out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oops, you have everybody who's going to be really good this year on your schedule because we said so.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But anything else you want to mention?
For that, no. But just in general, you can follow me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media. I tweet live at games from there. Oh, you can find a lot of my stories there, and just in general my work at djournal.com. also, quick moment of silence for Mike Gundy, who just got fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like as we were recording the news broke.
Oh, wow. He's a man. He's, I forget how old he is,
almost 60.
Yeah, he's fine. He'll be fine. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow James on Twitter at jsmurphymedia. You can follow the Journal on Twitter at djournalsports, and you can find all of our coverage for both Mississippi State and Ole Miss at djournal.com. James, am I missing anything?
I think you got it all, man.
Well, except for, of course, the good folks at Vanelli's Bistro, celebrating 50 years. Over at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. James, thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. thanks to everybody for listening, and enjoy the weekend, enjoy the games, and have a good one.